I don't think I'll be able to tell you how much we were looking forward to this weekend. Really, I won't be able to tell you. Every single handshake, every single hug means so much to us. Thank you so very much for being our family and Word of Grace. There were situations in the UK that were really difficult. When I think about those situations now, I feel, thank you, Lord, that you were with us. If it was not about you, if we wouldn't have heard from you regarding this time in the UK, I think we would have packed our bags within a week and come back. After that first fall of numb, when she was completely unconscious and she fell down, I think we would have come back, we would have packed our bags. After seeing Shifa in a cast right from her chest to her legs in a very awkward position and completely dependent on someone or the other to pick her up and move her around, we would have come back. But thank God that He was with us in all that was happening. He was with us. His promises were with us. He kept reminding us of what He had spoken over our lives. And of course, thank you for your prayers once again. Just to mention, I think for continuing to do what God has called you to do, I feel that there are two things: faith and strategy. It's in the scriptures as well. When God spoke to Joshua about giving him the land, and He said that wherever you step your foot, I'll give you that place. And as I was with Moses, I will be with you too, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. These words were enough for Joshua to just sit with his hands folded and say, ah, God has spoken, He will do it. But the Bible says the very next thing He does is He sent spies into the land, and He says, go and see what the land looks like. Especially that land, Jericho. Especially that place, Jericho. Isn't it about faith and strategy? And prayer is very much a part of being strategic in doing what God has called us to do. Thank you very much, Samantha. Where's Samantha? Thank you so very much for leading us in prayers for the nations on the Word of Grace group. It is really helpful. She's been very faithful in sending those prayer points for the nation as well as for the other nations. Can I encourage you for one more thing? Can I encourage you to make the prayer time before the Sunday morning meeting a big thing? The prayer time before we meet on Sunday, a group of us gathers over there outside the hall and we pray for this meeting, we pray for the people who are coming, we pray for God to meet with us. Can I encourage you, can I urge you to make that time a big deal out of that time? Because you will be amazed to see how God speaks to you for this time. You will be amazed to see how God speaks to you for this time. And it's been amazing. We have been hearing words for Sunday morning meetings, and people are being healed because God speaks in that prayer meeting. I think prayer is the engine room of all that we do, in all that He has called us to do. Prayer is the engine room. Let's make that time a big deal. Great. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you for this family that we have in Word of Grace, which in turn is part of your big family, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord, have your way among us. Meet with us, Lord. Help me, Jesus, to be clear in bringing the word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. New Year 2017. Oh, by the way, Happy New Year to everyone. May this be the year of great abundance, prosperity, and blessings. God's blessings be upon you this year. And if you do not know the Lord, may you meet the Lord in this year. that would be the best blessing ever for any life. And why any other day, actually? If you have not met the Lord, let this be the day that you meet the Lord. Amen. That you meet Jesus. And He meets with you. So, 2017, we would have made plans. I'm not saying resolutions, but we would have made plans. Okay, in this year, I will do this. In this year, I'll do that. On a macro level, somebody would have planned that, okay, I'm going to move houses. I'm going to move from this place where I'm staying to another house. I'm going to move jobs now. I'm going to move city now. I'm going to get married or have children. But do you ever imagine that, how do these plans, where do these plans of ours lie with respect to God's big plan? Is there something called God's big plan or God's big picture? And how does that affect us by being a part of just our plan? Or are we in line with God's big plan? Are we in line with God's big picture? Paul was very much concerned about being and proclaiming and knowing and concerned about the whole counsel, the whole will, this big picture of God. If you can turn with me to Acts 20, verse 27. Acts 20, verse 27. For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God, the whole counsel of God. Paul was very much concerned. Why was he concerned? Because he believed that if people understood God's whole plan, God's big picture, they would understand God's overall plan of transforming this world. Not only that, but they would also understand what is their part in it. What is their part in it? You remember from chapter 20, while Paul was just entering Ephesus, and he saw a group of people there, and he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said that, "We don't even know what that is. We don't even know if there is a Holy Spirit." "And what baptism did you receive?" "It was John's baptism." "Ah, John's baptism was of repentance. And John proclaimed about someone who is to come after him, that is Jesus. And he prayed for them, and they received the Holy Spirit. They prophesied, they were baptized, and they prophesied, they spoke in tongues." Paul had that big picture in mind about God being in the midst of his people. And so he was able to give them that value of God being in our midst. And after some time, when they spent time with Paul for the next 2 years, that's what the Bible says, for the next 2 years they were with him. There were people whom we know as Timothy, Silas, Gaius, and others, whom we talk about. They were faithful. That prayer, that big picture, changed the course of their lives. Of course, God's blessings were there, the message was there. But that big picture, giving that overall theme, changed the course of their life. And today, I really want us to be very much challenged and encouraged about this whole counsel of God, about this big picture of God. Just to give you a bit of a background, when Paul says that, "I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole counsel of God," Paul is traveling to Jerusalem. He is in a bit of a hurry. He has many enemies. There are people who want to take his life, and he gets to a nearby place which is called Miletus, I think, and he says, "Okay, I need to meet with the leaders, with the elders of the church in Ephesus." He calls them, they meet with him, and now he is reviewing his ministry, what he has done. He's saying, I have been faithful to you in proclaiming the whole gospel publicly. I've moved from house to house to give you this message. There have been times when I have shed tears with you." And then he says, "I have not hesitated, I did not shrink to proclaim to you the whole counsel of God, the whole will of God." understanding the big picture is more than just raising our hand and saying, yes, I believe in Jesus, or just believing in our own small religion, making our private religion, saying, ah, I'm getting my sins forgiven. God is helping me with things in this life. It's much more than that. It's saying, what part have I to play in this? And that can happen when we literally understand the big picture. And I know the foundations of this church. I was born here. It is about foundations. It is about knowing this church, Word of Grace, is about knowing the big picture. And today, I just want us to remind, to be reminded of that once again. That is all what I'm doing. I just want us to be reminded of that once again. Michael Eaton, he says, we are not to think of the Christian life in a very small way. He says, often we think about our own sins. God is helping us. He is helping us to walk, and he is answering our prayers. He is blessing us and this and that. That's too small a way of looking at a Christian life. And he says, it's something like walking with a crutch or walking stick, where God is just helping you to walk with a walking stick. It's not like that. It's not like that. It's something like this, that there is a wonderful, beautiful, amazing, massive, vast plan, and God chooses you. And God says, I want you to be a part of this plan. I want you to do what I have called you to do. This is what the overall picture is all about. It's something that God brings. It's not something that I am becoming more religious, or I'm improving my life on a self-improvement plan or something. It's not that. It's something that God does, and He brings us into it. The troubles that we went through, they were painful. They were very difficult. To see your 1.5-year-old daughter just lying, to see your wife helpless, was very difficult. But we are not called to live a life of defeatism. We are not called to live a life of defeatism. We are called to live our life to make it all about God's eternal glory, where Paul says that these light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory, which far outweighs these troubles. At that point, when you are in those troubles, I know it is difficult. But what we need to remind us is this: eventually this will go away. Not in a way, God, this will go away. Finally it will go away, it will end. But in a way that, God, I know this will go away because you are working out a powerful plan, because it is your will and you chose me for this. It is all about you. It is all about you. Now, before we try to unfold various themes of the whole counsel of God, I've got four elements. Nawaz has already done this while sharing during bread and wine. She's already given us a picture of creation, the fall, and the redemption and restoration, that Jesus is going to come back soon. And when He comes back, He's going to usher in two things. He's going to do two things. He will return to judge sin and evil, and He will usher in righteousness and peace. So what are these elements of the whole counsel of God? What does it mean to understand the whole counsel of God? I feel the first thing that we need to understand is there is a promise of Messiah. There is a promise in Jesus. The promise to Adam and Eve that the seed of the woman would suffer but eventually overcome Satan. That was the promise in Adam and Eve. The promise to Abraham that was given, which was through his seed the nations would be blessed. There was a promise which was given to David that Someone is coming who would rule on your throne forever. There are these promises, there are these prophecies which have been made, and all of these promises, all these prophecies meet in one person who is called Jesus Christ. All of these promises are fulfilled in Him. Colossians 1:18 says, Jesus is the second Adam. Just as Adam was the firstborn and the central head over the old creation, Jesus is the firstborn over the new creation, the first fruits of the one who has come from the dead. Jesus is also the heir of Abraham, the seed through which all the nations would be blessed. I think Paul argues this in Galatians. And he says that Jesus is the one who was to come, through whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And we are seeing that. We are seeing that happen. The promises to David, the seed of David becomes the ruler not only of Israel, but also for the whole world. And you know what? The good news is these promises do not stop there. We are called to inherit these promises. Where Paul says in Corinthians, you are a new creation. When you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. The old creation is gone, the new creation has come. You are a new creation. When we are in Christ, the seed of Abraham, we carry the promises of blessing the nations. We are those who are called to rule with Christ. When we pray that, Jesus, Father in heaven, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are bringing His will on this earth. We are praying, we are the people who are saying, Father, let your will be done. Let your will be done. Secondly, to understand the whole counsel of God, I think we need to understand that there is a promise of a temple. There is a promise of a temple. The temple is where God dwells among His people. It was always God's plan to dwell among His people, to bless them with His presence and to receive their worship. It was always God's plan. I love the way P.J. Smythe explains this or gives an overview of how the Spirit of God moved from space to now among us. It started with in Genesis, it started with space. The Spirit of God was hovering over the earth. Then a couple of chapters later, we see that when sin hadn't entered the world, we see that God was walking in the cool in the Garden of Eden with the man, with Adam, with Eve. And by the time we reach to the next chapter, we see that God's manifest, strong, mighty presence comes into a bush, a burning bush. And Moses said, by the way, please remove your shoes. You are on holy ground. And from there it moves to a mountain, to a Mount Sinai, where only Moses is allowed. Nobody else is allowed. Where only Moses is allowed. And from there it moves to a tent, which is called the tent of the meeting, where people come out and they meet and they see. People are talking to each other and saying, did you meet with God today? Oh no, today I was busy. Maybe next week I'll meet with God. Then it moved to a box, which is called the Ark of the Covenant. And the whole ball game changes by the time we reach the end of the Old Testament, almost towards the end of the Old Testament, when Ezekiel says that, this is what the Lord says, I'm going to pour out my Spirit in you and move you. I'm going to pour out my Spirit in you and move you. So from space, from space to us. But what was the journey like? From space to the garden, from the garden to the bush, from the bush to the mountain, from the mountain to the tent, from the tent to the box, from the box to the people. And when Jesus came, He said, I am the temple. I am the temple. Because He carried the Spirit of God. That's where God met with man, in Jesus. In Jesus. And he said, you break this temple, you demolish this temple, and I'm going to build this temple in 3 days. He was actually talking about his own body, that he would rise from the dead on the third day. And not just that, now he lives in us. He lives in us. What a privilege, brothers and sisters. What a privilege. We did not ask for this. God chose to do this for us. What a privilege. This alone is a mighty reason to just come and worship. A mighty cause of worship. Thank you, Lord, that you live in us. Not just individually in me or in you, but also in us as a church. As a church. Ephesians, okay, that's next. From there, we move to our third point, third element, which is important for us to understand while we understand the whole will of God, the promise of the kingdom. The promise of the kingdom. In the Garden of Eden, man and woman were appointed to care for and tend the earth and bring it under their authority, being God's representatives. And the fall ruined everything, with the result that Satan could be called the prince of this world. The prophets regularly foretold the coming of the kingdom. A king is coming. He would bring good news to the poor. He would judge the earth with righteousness. And when Jesus came, he said, "The kingdom of God is near." And he demonstrated that in his teachings and his actions. And he said that, "If I drive out demons through the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God, that means the kingdom of God has come upon you." Confronting evil, healing the sick, feeding the poor, feeding the hungry, and teaching the truth were all expressions of his kingdom coming through Jesus. And after Jesus, the disciples, the apostles, were charged with the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom of God. Not even this is the end of the narrative of the kingdom. Now we see this, these are only the first fruits of what is actually to come when Jesus says, "I'm going to come the second time and restore and bring in a whole new earth and a new heavens." As compared to that, these are just the first fruits. These are just a tasters that have been given to us, that have been revealed to us. The very next point, I feel, to understand the whole counsel of God is the promise of salvation. The promise of salvation. The story of how God will save and redeem his people. Throughout the Old Testament, the picture gradually builds up for the need of sacrifice to atone for sin. And Abraham was called to offer his son, though he was prevented to sacrifice his son, but the promise, the confirmation of the promise that all the nations would be blessed through his descendant. All the nations would be blessed. The Passover lamb demonstrated that God would rescue his people through sacrifice. Prophet Isaiah speaks of the servant who is to come. Turn with me to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 verse 10. Isaiah 53 verse 10. It says, "Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer." But victory also through this was anticipated, isn't it? Victory through this was anticipated. And that's why it says, "He will see his offspring. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days." That was the victory that we see in Jesus. That is the victory that we see in Jesus. That Christ must suffer and die, but rise on the third day. And not just this, actually, but the sequence in which Isaiah writes this. In 53, we see that it's about the servant who's going to die because of our sins. And in 54, he talks about enlarging your tent. Enlarge your tent. Because the tent, which is the presence of God just around Israel, he says, now there are going to be people coming because Jesus has died. The nations must come in now. So enlarge your tent. And the very next chapter in Isaiah says, invites the thirsty to come in. It invites the nation to come in. So you will need larger tents to come into the good of the everlasting covenant. When Jesus came, John the Baptist presented him as the Lamb of the world, a Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And on the eve of Passover, when Jesus was getting ready actually to become the Lamb of God, he removed his garment. He removed his garment and he did something that has been foundational for us to live our lives. He served his very proud disciples and ambitious disciples who wanted to sit on the right on his left. He served them just before becoming the Lamb of God. Brothers and sisters, and that is the life that we have been called to. He finished what he had come. He finished what he conquered death. He conquered Satan with all his powers. He died on the cross. He rose again. And the temple veil was torn into two halves. It was torn from top to bottom. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, and we can approach the throne of grace with confidence. Confidence in not our own selves, confidence not in my works and my good deeds, if there are any, but confidence in the blood of Christ, confidence in the name of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we can't do this by ourselves, on our own. We need the Spirit of God to help us first understand the whole counsel of God, understand the whole will of God, understand the whole picture of God, and then what are we to do in it? What is our part? What do you think your part is? Is to proclaim this. Is to proclaim this. God has called you to be as vehicles for His kingdom. For His kingdom. Bring people in. You would have seen in those old movies, in old Hindi movies, when there is a message that has to be given, which has come from the king, and this guy comes with a huge drum and he says, "Suno, suno, suno." We are called to be like that. Heralds of Jesus Christ. Listen. Listen. The word says this, that Jesus has died on the cross. He's going to come again. Come. Follow Him. Come. Give your life to Him. This is what we are here for, brothers and sisters. Anywhere, everywhere. Either you're a father, you're a son, you are working in an office, you are a student in college, anywhere. This is what God's big plan, God's big picture is. To transform the world, He wants to use you. He can do it without us, but He chooses you, and He wants us to know what is our part in it. And He wants us to play our part in it. Amen. He wants us to play our part. And we want to, not because we want to come closer to Him. We can't come closer because we are close enough to Him because of Jesus. But we still want to do it. There is a difference between, I want to do this because I want to get close to Him, and I want to do this because He has done this for me. I want to do this because He has done this for me. We can't do this by ourselves. We need the Spirit of God. And while the band comes up and leads us into worship, if you feel that your plans have not been in line with God's plan, if you feel that I have been doing my own thing, and you feel that now is the time for me to go and do this. Now is the time. But Lord, I can't do this on my own. I need your Spirit. Please come forward. Please come forward. There would be people around you who would love to pray with you. I would love to pray with you. And if you want to give your life to Jesus, if you had not yet understood the message of Christ, and today you feel, this is the message. If you are hearing this for the first time, that's because you are hearing this for the first time, and you understood this, and your heart is touched, the message has touched your heart, come forward. Say that, Jesus, I give my life to you. I want to do this for you, because you have already done what is needed. Amen. What was needed. Amen. Yeah? Come, let's worship.
Let the band come forward. And I want us to just ponder for 30 seconds on God's word come through Abdullah. You know, we've begun 2017 and it can be life as usual. Let me get on with my plans for my life. But for us to realize that Jesus is coming back. We have to fit in with his plans. Okay, guess who has to change? We have to change. All right, we can't do it on our own. He's already died for us. And he's got great plans in store for us. Okay, and we've got to say, Lord, how can I fit in to those plans? If you don't know the Lord Jesus this morning, and you're saying, I don't know, but I want to follow this Jesus who died for me, may I urge you to come forward as well, and we'll pray for you. But for the rest of us who do know the Lord Jesus, it's a wonderful opportunity to rededicate our lives to following him. Say, Lord, I thank you that I have life. Thank you that I've seen 2017. I want to live for you. Okay? Can we get to our feet, everybody? Come. Let's stand together. And okay. We'll sing this song, but will you take a step of faith? Yeah, before God and before man, and saying, Lord, this year, I want to live for you. Okay, just take a step, come in front. If that is your desire, because we need him to help us. We can't do it on our own. Okay, we need him. That's what you're saying. You're saying, Lord, I'm putting aside my private plans for my life. I want to fit in with your big plan of redemption. And there is a cost. Jesus said, if anybody would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. He said, unless you do that, you can't be my disciple. So there is a cost. Okay, we'll end in a few minutes, but let's respond to God this morning. Okay, if you're saying, I want to take that step, take a step, come forward, we'll pray for you, and we'll seal it with prayer and with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Ministry team, also come forward, we'll pray. Pray for people as they come. Thank you. Lord Jesus, you are the Savior of the world. You created the world, you've redeemed the world, and you're coming back for the world. Lord, you're coming back with a new heaven and a new earth. Lord, we thank you that those of us who've put our trust in you are part of that great plan. Lord, you have a plan and a purpose for us. Lord, would you help us to fit in with that plan, Lord? By your Spirit, help us to be led by your Spirit to do the things you want us to do. Lord, we ask for that. Thank you for each one here. May your blessing, your protection, your favor be upon us as we go from this place, Lord. Lord, may we take the light of Jesus and shine brightly in this dark world. May your success be written over our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's enjoy fellowship with one another. God bless you. Have a great week.